Man, I'm glad to be here. You glad to be here?
Amen.
I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord where the word of God will be spoken.
Amen.
Amen. It will not return void, but will accomplish, right, Carla? That for which it was set forth. Amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 8 this morning. And I want to do a little recap because every now and then when you get in, going through a book, it's good to do a little bit of a recap. Amen. In John chapter 3, we remember Jesus meeting with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. You know, he said something very important in that interaction with that Pharisee. And he said, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, then you will not see the kingdom of heaven. If you move a little bit forward, if you'll remember, one of the greatest things that John the Baptist said was, when he seen Jesus coming, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John said something else. As all the people who were being baptized were starting to go to Jesus, and Jesus' disciples were baptizing them, and he told his disciples this. He said, he must become greater, and I must become less. Man, what a fantastic statement that is. Amen. We looked at the Samaritan woman at the well. What a great story. That day she got saved. She got the living water that day. But not only that, she took it back to the town of Sychar, poured it all over the people of that town. And we know that the Bible says that that whole town was saved because of this woman who had been married 5 times. And the man she was living with, man, does that give us hope? Huh? That gives us hope, doesn't it? We know he healed the nobleman's son. He just said, go thy way, your son is healed. He didn't go to his house. He didn't do anything. But because of the man's faith, he said, your son is healed. And what happened? He was healed. And then he walked into the pool of Siloam. Right? And there was this man who had been an invalid or a paralytic for 38 years. And Jesus said, he asked him a really dumb question. Do you want to be healed? That is a dumb question. Right? You would think it was a dumb question. But, you know, if you remember, he just broke out in a bunch of excuses. You want to ask me if I've been paralytic for 38 years? You said you want to be healed? Yeah. I want to be healed. What did Jesus say? Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Amen. And you know, Jesus is still suffering the persecutions for that, even here in chapter 8. Amen. Then we've seen him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. So 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I just want you to know something. The guy doing all this, that's my Savior.
Amen.
I just want you to know that. That's my Savior. You get it? Man. Not only that, he walked on water. Not only that, he gave somebody enough faith to follow him out on water. Come on. Last week, we seen something very powerful. And that was him save a woman who had a death sentence. Right? But he said, has no one condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Man, I could hear those words from 30 years ago. Neither do I condemn you. Dean, you are not condemned because you have believed in the Son of God. Amen? Oh. All right. Now, why do I bring all that up? Because I want to remind you of something about the book of John. All right? And why these things are written. Why they're written in the way they're written, why the stories that are used are written, and some of these are not in other books, or some of the stuff in the other Gospels are not in the book of John. John tells us why he wrote this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. I don't know about you, but we're only in chapter 8, and I already got enough evidence. Right? Aren't we blessed to have another, what? 13 chapters? Huh? Woohoo! Are you thirsty this morning? Did you come to drink? Do you got the desire to drink this morning? And hear the Word of God and let it absorb into your soul this morning? Oi, hoi! Some of y'all get that. The title this morning, say it with me. I am the light of the world. No, some of y'all didn't see the I am, did you? Huh? Let's try it one more time. I am the light of the world. Who said that? Jesus said that, I am the light of the world. So last week we left him off with the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus was in the temple speaking. Amen? Today, if you read in verse 20, then you'll know that he is not in the temple now. He's by the temple court. He's in the temple courts preaching by where the tithes were actually giving. And as me and Pat, we discussed this morning, to be able to stand where he was standing and preach to the people, you had to be a pretty powerful person. Amen? Now, they didn't think he was, but what he knew is that he was. Amen? So that's where he's going to be. He's going to be still in the temple speaking to multitudes of people. Because if you remember last time, all the people from the town came out there. So when you picture what's going on here, I want you to picture that Jesus is teaching not just two or three people, but a multitude of people. And today, when we go over this, and a lot of these today that we're going to read is pretty simple stuff. It's pretty direct. Sometimes Jesus speaks very direct. Amen? But up to this point, there's a certain subject he's going to talk about that he hasn't been as direct as he's going to be this morning. Not that he won't be later on in this book, because he will, but I'm saying up to this point, he's going to say something so direct. Man, you know what? It needs to get your attention. It needs to get all of our attention. So I hope you came here this morning to pay attention. Amen? All right, let's go. We're going to start. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. You got your Bible? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, when Jesus spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. There they are again. There they are again, man. Them Pharisees are everywhere, aren't they? Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Clearly they have no idea who they're talking to. Clearly they have no idea that the light of the world standing in front of them in the most literal sense possible. Amen? Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. Amen? How many of you could say that this morning? You know where you came from, but you know where you're going. Amen? Can you say it with the confidence of Jesus? Yes, man. Man, I know where I came from, and I know where this body came from. Came from the dirt. You know where it's going back?
The dirt.
Back to the dirt. All right. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. Jesus, knowing the man's heart, knowing everything about an individual, right? He's telling us right now what's in these people's hearts. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true. Why? Because I am not alone. I want you to pay attention here because I want you to see the intimate relationship between God the Son and God the Father here. Amen? And I want to point it out to you for a reason, because I want to seek to have that type of relationship with my Lord and Savior. Amen? You ever had a friend or a wife or a spouse or a child or something that they could start speaking and you could finish what they said, or you knew what they were thinking, or you know what I'm talking about? I want to be that way with my Lord and my Savior. He said, I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. We talked about that last week from Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. What does he say, your own law? Huh? Jesus came to fulfill the law. Amen? Jesus is grace incarnate. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. I just want you to know there's not a greater two witnesses than that. Amen? Jesus is enough because he's God. But just in case he ain't enough, he's telling you, I got another witness. And my other witness is my Father. And he's the one that sent me. Man. Boy. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. Listen to me. Listen to me. We've seen this throughout the book of John all the way up to this point. If you don't know God, you do not know his Son. Because the Bible makes it clear. In John 6:44, Jesus said, unless the Father sends you to me, you cannot come. Amen. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him. Why? Because his hour has not yet come. How many times they tried to seize him up to this point? Four or five?
Yeah.
They're going to do it again at the end of this chapter, by the way. They're going to pick up stones to stone him, but somehow he just disappears. I want to go back up to the verse 12 here because I want to reread that. I really want you to try to understand what Jesus is and what Jesus is saying here when he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. Jesus is making an absolute declaration here, is he not? But I want you to know something because he says, whoever follows me. That don't mean you follow him on X. That don't mean you follow him on Twitter. Amen? That don't mean you follow him around like a puppy dog would follow around its owner. That ain't what I'm talking about. When he says, follow me, you can put in there, put your faith and your trust in Jesus for the sacrifice of your sins on the cross of Calvary, and now you are redeemed. That's what he's talking about when he says, whoever follows me, it's whoever believes in me, whoever trusts in me. Amen? That's what he means when he says, whoever follows me. But he says, we will never walk in darkness. Listen, what is the darkness? Have you ever been in the darkness? Oh, I've been in the darkness. Oh, I've been in the darkness. I've lived in the darkness. And I want you to know something. Today, because of that, I know what the darkness is. I know what the darkness is. I knew it firsthand. And me and the darkness had an intimate relationship. Amen. In the darkness, and what's the darkness represented by here? It's the world and everything in it. When I say the world and everything in it, I'm not talking about the trees and the ground and all that. I'm talking about people, human culture. Yes, depravity, wickedness, idolatry, everything that the world represents that is bad. That's what he's talking about here. You understand that, right? We'll never walk in darkness. So it would be fair to say you would never walk in the world. And I'll prove that to you as we go on here. Amen? So what is the darkness? Because I know the darkness, let me give you some highlights of the darkness. It's a place where people just wander around, lost, and they really don't even know it. Day after day, they seek to fulfill their own desires, their own lusts. They speak their own truths, have their own opinions, and live by their own made-up morals and made-up values. That's what darkness is. They wander around not even understanding that they do it with no real purpose. And when they get to the end of the road, there'll be no real reward. Just going wherever the winds of their own desires blow them. Whatever they want to do. Whatever they want to be. Whatever they want to say. Whoever they want to be. And listen, these people who are in the darkness, they are incapable incapable, absolutely incapable of experiencing a real peace, a real joy, or a real love. Because I'm telling you, if you're going to ever genuinely experience them, then they can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been in the darkness. I know that there's a copy or a counterfeit for all these things. And I want you to know this morning, because I've had them both, they don't even compare. Amen. Worldly peace and the peace that passes all understanding, the joy of the world, or joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I'll be honest with you, real love, I didn't understand love, true love, until I understand what God did for me by sending His Son to the cross of Calvary. Amen? So listen, these people in darkness, and you, if you remember when you've been there, you're incapable of experiencing some of the greatest things that God has to offer. Amen? But you know what? Jesus came into the picture, and everything changes.
Amen.
Right? Yep. Hey, nobody can change a situation like Jesus can. I mean, really, every situation, every trial, everything. He comes into the situation, His light shines so brightly. He guides us, right, step by step on our spiritual journey, leading us out of the world, out of the darkness. And what is He leading us towards? He's leading us towards truth and righteousness. Yeah. Amen. You know why I'm telling you this? Because it happened to me. It happened to me, man. And I'm so thankful that it did happen to me. But it did more than just Jesus being the light of the world. It did more than just light my path. Listen to me. It also revealed my true self to me. Oh, dang, that was ugly. Come on, it was ugly. Because the light of Jesus, man, it shined into the deepest corners of my heart. Right? Into the deepest places where I had placed my most secret sins, my deepest sins. Man, I'll tell you what that light did. It revealed to me just how depraved and flawed and broken I truly was. Amen? But listen, it's kind of odd, because when God was doing that, and certainly that light was pointing out my sins to me, but it wasn't to condemn me. He was pointing them out to me so that I could repent of those sins, man, and come to Him. But this light that I'm talking about, this light of Jesus, at the same time it's doing all this stuff, man, revealing to me who I really am, showing me that I'm flawed and I'm broken, I'm messed up. Man, was I messed up. You know, exposing my sin to me in the deepest parts of my heart. At the same time, this light has the capability to let me know how much God deeply loved me.
Amen.
You say, well, how can that be? I don't know how that can be. I don't know how God can do that, how God can come into your life and be showing you how flawed and broken and messed up you are, and at the same time exposing your sin, getting you to repent and trust in Him, but at the same time telling you, I love you.
Amen.
I love you. Listen, that don't make worldly sense. It don't make worldly sense, but it makes godly sense. And it happened to me, and I hope it happened to you. Man, God is good, is He not? So when we walk in the light, something else I noticed, when we walk in the light of Jesus, walk in the light of Christ, we see the world different, right? We see the world different in a new way. And one of the greatest things for me was I was able now to look at people and see the image of God in them. No matter who they were, how bad they were, how wicked they were. Nancy Pelosi. Chuck Schumer, George Soros, Hillary Clinton. I can look at those people now and I can understand something. That my battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and wickedness in high places. So that light gave me the ability, because we're all created in the image of God, are we not? So that light gives me the ability to see people, no matter where they're at. I can see in them the image of God. And not only that, but I can see the possibilities of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
In every situation and in every person. Amen. It changed your perspective. This light that I'm talking about, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Man, it'll change you. It'll change you. Have you forgotten the darkness? You never forget the darkness, especially when you're living in the light. Huh? Because you are so thankful, so grateful of what God did for you, man. I don't know. Maybe y'all weren't as lost as me. I was lost. So when Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world here, and I want you to know something. He said, I am the light, not a light. I am the light of the world. What is Jesus saying? It means Jesus is our salvation. It means he is the source of all truth. He is our guide on our spiritual journey. And he also says something else in here. He says, I am the only light that you can follow that will lead you to eternal life. Is that what he said? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't care who else you follow. There's only one person that you can follow that will lead you to eternal life. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he is the light of the world. Amen. I want to read something to you. How many times does the Bible talk about light and darkness? I mean, a lot. A lot. So I tried to be very selective here because I know my time is limited. Amen. I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, and that comes from the Sermon on the Mount, of course, verses 14 and 15. And what does the first statement say? It says, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Lord, because Jesus is speaking here. He doesn't say you should be, you could be. You are.
Amen.
You are. You know, if you're saved, you are. You are the light. The question is, what kind of light? The question is, how bright a light? The question is not if you are the light, because Jesus said, you are the light. I wonder, spiritually speaking, symbolically speaking, if you were to put yourself in a hall closet and the light of Jesus would shine, would it shine bright enough for you to see your hand in front of your face? You understand? We are the light. You don't get a choice. God has made that choice for you when you made your choice to choose him. You and I are the light. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Amen? Oh! Then he says, in the same way, let your light so shine before others, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen to me. This is important. Because sometimes some of the smallest words make all the difference. So he says in verse 16, in the same way, what's that next word? You get what I'm saying? You got to let it, man. You got to take the bowl off. You got to take the bowl off. You got to let it out. You got to let it shine. It's your choice. You have the light, but you got to let it go. Let it go. Why do some people seem to have the light and some people don't? Well, some people covering it up and some people ain't. Some people letting it shine, some people ain't. Remember that old song? I remembered it from church. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You and I got to make a conscious decision every day to be the light of the world and to let it shine. Let it shine. Take the bowl off. You know what God don't need? Secret agent Christians. I'll tell you why. He got enough of them. Huh? So when we understand that we are the light of the world, and we are, then we'll live a life that reflects Jesus' love, Jesus' compassion. Amen? We'll show kindness to others. We'll speak the truth in love. These are the things that we do when we understand we're the light of the world. We'll forgive, actually, those who have wronged us. We'll help those in need. But there's a reason that he tells us why to do these things. And he says this, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and what? So by us being the light, we are actually offering or giving them an opportunity to step into the light and see God's glory. Amen. That's me. That's me. You need to do an inventory sometimes, right? Every time I put together a sermon, I do an inventory. Sometimes I just have to take my boots off. Amen? I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 5. And here he's speaking to Christians. This is important. Context and setting. He's speaking to Christians. Paul is speaking to Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 14. For you were once darkness. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa. He didn't say, for you were once in darkness. Am I right? You weren't in darkness. You were darkness. So when he says that, I want you to understand, when he says, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, he is saying you will no longer represent and be darkness. Man, I was darkness. Represented everything about it. Amen. Oh, I didn't live in the dark. Get the perception right. You were the dark. But now, oh, everybody say, but God. But now, you are the light in the Lord. Yeah. Live as children of light. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? It's a good thing that Paul tells us here through the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen up. Because this is the fruit of living in the light. All right? For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Amen? That is what the light consists of. And listen, that's what he was talking about in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, let your good deeds, right, be seen so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. You and I have what is needed to change the world. We do. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed, man, when light shines, when light shows up in darkness, anybody ever lived in a house or visited a house with cockroaches? You flip that light on, man. Man, it looks like a car derby, crash derby. Huh? Oh, yeah, when I was in the darkness, man, I lived in some pretty dark places. Some of them things could look like they'd have carried you off while you're sleeping, man. Just kidding. Just telling you. Thank you, Lord. Not only delivered me from the darkness, but cockroaches, too. Come on. That's a win-win right there. All right. I want to go back, and since we understand what the fruit of the light is, goodness, righteousness, and truth, I want to skip that little part in parentheses there, and I want to read straight through to the end of that verse. Listen to it. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases God. And find out what pleases God. How do I do that, Pastor?
Amen.
It's all here. It's all here. You want to find out what pleases God? Here it is. Amen. You just got to pick it up and read it to receive it. Amen. All right. Verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Did you read that carefully? It doesn't say have nothing to do with the people of darkness, because those are the ones we're after. But it says, they have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Meaning, those things that we do in the dark, they're going to profit nothing. They're fruitless. Matter of fact, they will profit you nothing, but generally they will cost you something. Amen? But rather expose them. We're not exposing people. We're exposing the fruitless deeds of darkness. The things that go against God's word. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know why we're in the position we're in right now in America? Because Christians no longer do this. They're afraid to speak, man. We've been shut up. We've been shut up. We've been made to get along and go along. You know what? I ain't that guy. If you're bringing something to me and it don't line up with God's word, from now on, you're going to know it. I don't care who you are. And you know what? I'm going to do my best to say it in love. But don't get stupid. Huh? Oh, you can fix stupid. Get with me. I'll tell you how to do that later. Some of y'all know how to fix stupid. Larry Wayne, you know how to fix stupid. Don't say it. Don't say it. All right, here we go. It is even shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Wow. Yeah? There's some things I did in the dark I don't want to tell you. Amen? But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Oh, that should wake some of you up, because I don't want you to know. One day, everything we did, there'll be a big light shining on it. Standing before the Lord. Amen? Thinking that you hid it all that time. But you really, and I really, ain't hid nothing. Now listen to this. And everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Have you been illuminated? Then you become a light, didn't you? Because you are the light of the world, and I am the light of the world. Listen, this is why it is said, this is why I told you in the beginning, he's talking to Christians here. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's talking to Christians. You know what he's saying? Wake up. The light has shone on you. You have been illuminated. It's time to let your light shine. Wake up from your slumber. Wake up from your sleep. And once again, what does it say? The light of Christ will shine on you. Amen? You know that light is available. It's available. He is the light of the world, is he not? He is the light of the world. And listen, all you got to do is walk into that light. And you know what? Remember, that light represents truth. That light represents salvation. That light represents goodness and righteousness. Amen? And God sends you into that light because that light represents his son. But listen to me, and we're going to find this out in this next portion of scripture. You better be quick, because that light will be gone. That light will be gone. That light don't last forever. Amen? You know what I'm thankful for? God didn't call me into the light just once or twice or three times. He never gave up on me. Man, I'm thankful that he put me in such a dark place that I could see the light more clearly. Amen? I'm thankful I did too, because it was blinding me. Amen? So listen, the light's available. You know, what he's really talking about here, especially in Ephesians, is, and you and I need to be what we're supposed to be, the light of the world. If God and Jesus and our Savior needed anything today, it is for his people to be the light of the world. He needs us. He's counting on us to be the people that we need to be. Amen? Let's do that. All right, let's move on. Verses 21 and 22. This is going to get real serious. Real serious. If you read ahead, you know what I'm talking about. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? Here's the deal. Did Jesus know where he came from? And he knows where he's going. He knows where he's going back to. He already knows he came from heaven, and it is to heaven he will return. But listen, because of their hatred and because of their rejection of Jesus, of the light of the world standing right in front of them, that's why Jesus said to them, "Where I go, you cannot come." Amen? Here's the deal. Listen. If we follow, and we already went over the definition of follow. If we follow Jesus here on earth, I want to tell you 100% that we will follow Jesus to heaven. Amen? But listen, if you have no desire to follow Jesus here on earth, then I don't know what would make you think that there was any chance that you're going to follow him to heaven. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Amen? Jesus said, and sometimes people look at this statement and they say, well, that's kind of out of place. There's a couple of statements in these in here that's out of place. But if something seems out of place, I want to bring it up to you. Amen? He said, well, the Jews asked him when he said that, you can't come. Where I'm going, you can't come. And these Jews look at each other and say, what's he going to do, kill himself? Is that what he means? Is he going to kill himself? That's why we can't come? Well, to understand that culture then, and the Jews then, is they believe that if someone committed suicide, the lowest levels of Hades was reserved for them. And that's why they make this statement, that where he's going, they cannot come, because they are in no way going to do that to themselves. But here's what I want you to know about that. And again, they're just doing it to throw shade at Jesus. That's why they're doing it, trying to make him seem like something that he's not. Certainly not understanding who he is. But when it comes to suicide, here's what I want you to know. You can't show me in the Bible where suicide is an unforgivable sin. Amen? You can't tell me that suicide is not covered under the blood when the Bible says that God, that Jesus sacrificed for all sin. The Bible does say that there is an unforgivable sin, and that is a sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That is a rejection of God coming to you to send you to his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you follow me? That's it. Listen, if the blood of Jesus doesn't cover all sin, then I don't know what good it is. It either covers it all or it doesn't cover any. Come on! It covers it all, my friends. But listen to me, man, if you ever get into that position, please contact me, contact someone. Because I don't care what kind of position you're in, there's no position you're in that God can't get you out of. Amen? Not a single one. Not a single one. Amen? Has anybody, we've all kind of thought of that sometime or crossed our mind or something, right? Driving off the cliff, or... No? I would never do it. Amen? By the way, there are 6 people mentioned in the Bible who have committed suicide. None of them righteous people by any means. Some people say, well, Samson committed suicide. No, Samson took out a bunch of Philistines. Amen? To say Samson committed suicide would be the same thing as trying to say Jesus committed suicide. Oh, he went to the cross, Pastor. He knew it was going to happen to him. Man, he went there as a sacrifice to die for other people. Amen? And Samson was saving Israelites' lives by killing all them Philistines. So don't think he was a suicidal man. Amen? Oh, he was mixed up, though. Samson, by the way. Yeah, all right, let's go on a little bit. Let's go a little bit further. But, even in looking at that, when they say, what are you going to do, kill himself? I want you to see how far away their hearts are. Because if anybody should have known who Jesus was, it was these guys. They knew the scriptures, frontwards and backwards, man. They should have known he was the Messiah. Verses 23 through 30. Here it gets really plain and really simple. But he continued, you are from below, and I am from above. Right? Almost like it's a kid's book. You are from below, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Amen? Are you of this world? But you were of this world. But when you got saved, the Bible says, now you're not of this world. You are a pilgrim. And what are we doing? I'm just temporarily here, man, but I'm on a journey, and my journey ends with my Lord and Savior, because I believe the Bible says that my soul is anchored to Him in heaven. Amen? And Lord, anytime you want to pull on that line, just go on and pull it. Amen? Yes. Yank us up. Yank us up. A twinkling of an eye. It's going to be pretty quick, right? All right. Where am I at? All right. Verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You talk about plain and simple. You talk about serious. But very plain and simple. Who are you, they asked. You know what? That is a legitimate question. Because I asked God that in a certain way. When I was at the rock bottom and I said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. God, who are you? Are you real? It's a legit question. The context in which they ask it, not good. But listen, I want you to know something this morning. If you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with God, a relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you get on your knees or you just come to Him and you sincerely, genuinely say, who are you? I promise you, He will show you who He is. Amen. He will show you who He is. Amen? He will. Okay, somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Who are you, they ask. And what did Jesus say? Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. But listen, it just never would sink in. It never would sink in. The light just could not penetrate. He told them over and over and over again up to this point who He was. But they just never got it. Now, verse 26 seems kind of out of place because he says something. It doesn't fit with what he said before, and it doesn't fit with what he said after. But what he is trying to say something here when he says, I have much to say about you in judgment. Because he says that, and then he doesn't say anything about their judgment. Here's the deal. You know what Jesus is saying? I know everything about you, man. I could lay your sins out. I could lay everything out. I could lay your whole heart out here because I know every wicked thing about you. That's what he's saying. I have much to say about you in judgment, man. But He who sent me is trustworthy. And what I have heard from Him, I tell the world. That's what we should do. Come on. They did not understand that He was telling them about His Father. Man, they just can't. Some people just don't ever get it, do they? Where am I at? Verse 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. What is Jesus representing or talking about here? He's talking about when He goes to the cross of Calvary. Then you're going to understand. Then you're going to realize, not just because I'm going to be killed, not just because I'm going to be buried, but nothing like raising from the dead to shock some people. Come on. Amen. God is so good. All right. Verse 30. Even as He spoke, many believed in Him. We've seen that several times, right? Throughout, just up to this chapter right here, we've seen that many times, that people, Jesus speaks, and a lot of people don't, but some people do. And I want to show you something, man. Just remember that when the Word of God speaks, it will accomplish that which it was set for. Amen? And that's what we see a great picture of here. Jesus speaking doesn't affect everyone. Not everyone accepts it, but there are, it says many. Many did believe because the Word of God went out. And I guess, you know, if there's nobody better to speak the Word of God, well, than God. Right? Yeah. All right, I want to back up to one verse, and we'll be closing out here in a second. And it says, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins. What a statement. This statement. This is a life or death statement. It is. It's a life or death statement. Make no mistake about it. This is such a serious question or such a serious statement. And I want you to know, these men are religious leaders, right? But Jesus tells them plainly, you're from below, and I'm from above. You're in the darkness. You are the darkness. And he's telling them this, man, your darkness is going to remain. And your darkness is going to remain because you reject me. That's what he's saying. Jesus was the light of the world who came from the Father. That's what he said. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. I came to represent the Father. Jesus here gives them a very serious warning. And listen, it's a serious warning. We should all hear the heed this warning. And that is, the day of grace will not last forever. The day of grace will not last forever. Death would make their sinful darkness permanent. Somebody should say amen. Because mine's not. Right? Death has no power over me. No victory over me. What did Paul say? To die is gain. Most people don't see death that way. But listen, once you cross over, you will. Well, depends on what you did with Jesus. You know, one bridge is nice and lit, and the other one's on fire. Am I right? I want to read something to you from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. The Bible is full of this stuff. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, none righteous, no, not one. 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen to me. Listen to what David said in Psalms 51:5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Amen? Sin and sin, conceiving sin. Amen? So we were all born sinners, conceived in sin, right? And listen, if we choose to hold on to our sin, then God's going to let you hold on to your sin. But if we choose to deal with our sin while we're alive by putting our faith in the light of the world, in Jesus, then we don't have to die in our sins. Because our sins will be what? Washed away, forgiven, man. And listen, how important a question is this? It's literally a life or death question, right? Because to not make the decision to trust in Jesus doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Doesn't mean you're following Jesus to heaven. In fact, what it means is you're going to hell. Let me tell you three of the best qualities about hell. Some of y'all catch that? Kind of oxymoron, isn't it? One, it's a place where the fire is not quenched. Two, it is a place where the worm never dies. And three, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen? Man, when I think about that, then I think about heaven, streets of gold, gates made of single pearls, foundations made of precious stones with the 12 apostles' names on it, trees of life in the middle with the river flowing, the river of life flowing with a new fruit every month. Man, you say, Pastor, that sounds too good to be true. No, it don't. Because it is true. And you know what? Even what I described there, it's going to be better than that. Because my mind can't really describe to you how great it's going to be. Amen. All right, so when Jesus is talking here, man, he says this. He says, look, I can take your sin from you. All you have to do is give it to me. He said in Romans 6:23, he said this, for the wages of sin is what? But God wants to trade that sin for a gift. No brainer. Let me see, death? And all it entails, because the wages of sin is death, or life, and life eternal. Because listen, what death is too, is separation from God. Man, separation from God. I do not want that, nor do I want you to want that. So when Jesus is declaring, he's declaring very plainly to these people, but not only to these people, but to us as well. And he's declaring an absolute truth. And what is that truth? If you don't believe in him, that's what he says, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to have to pay for your own sins. And the wages of sin is death. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I thought the wages of sin were death. They are. And you look at the cross of Calvary, and what happened to Jesus to pay the penalty for your sins? He died to pay the penalty for your sins. Amen? Listen, God has made a provision. A provision for your sins so you don't have to die in them. And I want you to know this morning, it's the only provision available. There is no other provision. Jesus is the provision. What did he say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I want you to think about that for a minute. We can't come to Jesus unless the Father sends us. Now follow me here for a minute. But then again, but we can't get back to the Father unless we come through Jesus. Do you see how it works? We ask God to show himself, manifest himself, right, to us. He does. He points us to his Son. And it is through that Son that we make the loop back around. Amen? Oh, it's going to be a beautiful time. Isn't it? We're going to be playing trivia and all that stuff.
And winning.
The only thing about that is all of y'all will know all the answers. If you would, stand with me. Listen to me, people. If you've never walked into the light, please. Man, this light is so comforting, so warming, so peaceful, so joyful. I'm just telling you. Jesus is all those things, man. If you've never walked into the light, please come down here this morning and let me introduce you to my Lord and Savior, the only Lord and Savior, the only light of the world. And his name is Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, Christians. I wonder if you could honestly say, you know, my light shines bright. I mean, can you honestly say that? Is there anybody in here that can honestly just stand up and say, my light shines bright? As bright as it's supposed to. Amen? Could we do a little tweaking? Could we take off a couple layers, maybe? Could we quit being so afraid of what people are going to say or what people are going to think? Listen, that's the only way, man, is to stand and speak the truth of God's Word. That's the only way we're going to change things around in America. He needs you and I right now. Man, if you could see in this building right now the light in some of you people, it would be blinding if you could see it spiritually. But listen, if you could see some of the light in some of the other people in here, you wonder where it is. Let's be honest. That's what I'm asking you, man. Check yourself. Check yourself. Be the light. You are the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Maybe you've been hiding under a bowl. Don't hide it under a bowl. Take the bowl off. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus is the only way. Amen? Maybe you need to come this morning and get on that narrow path. I'm on that narrow path. I'm an ambassador of that narrow path. I'm a minister of reconciliation on that narrow path. I want to take as many people as I can with me on that narrow path. And if that's you, that's you today. Amen? But listen to me, Christians, because that's what's mostly here this morning. We need to start shining. I mean, shining. What did he say? That we are to expose darkness. Oh, Pastor, they're going to persecute me. They're going to hate me. Who cares? Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Timothy Paul wrote to Timothy, if you want to live a Christian life, you will be persecuted. Bring it. Bring it. What's the worst they can do? Send you to heaven? Father, we just come before you at this end of this sermon. Lord, we thank you for these words that you've given us, Lord. Powerful words, serious words, life-changing words. And Lord, I do understand I am the light of the world. And Lord, even now, I'm sorry for the times that I haven't been, the times that I could have been. I know I could do more, Lord, and I want to do more. So show me, Lord. Show me where I can do better and be better and say more. But I do thank you, Lord. You gave me the desire to stand on the truth. That's what I ask of your people this morning. They would just examine themselves, Lord. Man, let's leave here and change the world. The only way we can do that is through the truth. Your word says in this very chapter, Lord, that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we open this time, Lord. Maybe people just want to come and thank you. Maybe they need a pilot relit in their life, Lord. Reignited so that they can shine brighter. Perhaps, Lord, somebody needs to walk into the light this morning with the understanding, Lord, that if they don't believe that you are Him, you are our Lord and Savior, they will die in their sins. Lord, I don't want that to happen to anyone. We open this time to you, Lord, to do exactly what you say, nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.